You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
You know what the news is. Now you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Oh, yeah.
The financial people, they're always a bit crazy. Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much. This is Dennis, of course, as Ron said. And it is Thursday, 11-9, November 9th. 2023, and joining us today is Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Heidi. It's great to be here today.
It's great to have you here. She wasn't here last week.
That's true.
Because she was so assiduously studying.
Studious.
With Ed.
With yes. Ed. Mr. Ed.
Special Ed.
That too?
Special Ed, that's
special
right.
Education.
Mr. Ed.
Higher Ed.
Hi, Mr. Ed. So, yeah, we did our classroom time this last week with Ed, and he always slams us. Why am I so surprised with tons of information and lots of new information? Could there actually be new information? Yes, there was a fair amount. And their geeks were in full array, and we're going to be sharing some of that in the next, in the following weeks here. But Heidi needs to be there. Right on time, actually. She's sitting down early.
I do. It's just the way I am.
Ready for the class.
I like prepared. To not miss anything, so I like to get prepared and to read all the pre-information so that I know where I'm coming from.
All right, plus
student. Good quality.
Mm-hmm. Also, as you heard her voice, Miss Deanne Jennings.
Good morning, everyone. So happy to be here. And can we just soak in that sunshine outside for a minute?
My gosh.
What a beautiful day. We need to remember this day of sunshine.
Remember. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, yesterday, what was it, 5 o'clock? It was dark. The vicissitudes. Where did these come up with these words? Anyway, the dynamics of the Michigan weather, craziness. And this morning, like, bam, slapped you right outside the face.
It was so nice to know the sun is still there.
It's gorgeous. And if you do have a question of a financial nature, in case we ever do get to it, our phone number and or text line, if you would, Ron, is?
You can phone in live if you're listening live here on Thursday the 9th, 947-0023. That's the 231 area code, 947-0023. Or you can send us a question or comment text-wise, 833-728-1140.
And if you are listening Saturday and you do
morning,
have...
Wilbur.
Oh, that was
yes,
Mr. Ed. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Right. Oh, that was Mr. Ed. Okay. So, a Saturday, if you do have a question of a financial nature that pops up in your own mind and you'd like us to try to answer it the next week, feel free to text it in and we will get it the next week.
Or email it to you guys online,
yeah.
Right?
That's sure.
Yeah.
Either way.
Absolutely.
Either way.
So, the first thing we're going to be discussing today is... today, the question financial advisors are asking us. This is from Enslot, the November issue of his newsletter, fantastic information. Why? Because these are the nuts and bolts of the questions that advisors are getting from their clients, and also perhaps even you. So this is why you'd want to listen and why we want to cover it, because, you know, it's always interesting. There's always a slip between the hand and the lip, that sort of thing. Okay, we get the facts, but, you know, what's it like on the ground? What's happening on the ground? And so we're not going to cover all these questions, but Ed was so impressed. Here's what he says. During the seminar, and this was a seminar they had in September, I'll just read this. It may be helpful for background. Ed Slott, in late September, Ed Slott and company hosted another successful IRA workshop. Financial advisors from across the country joined us for 2 days of intense retirement account instruction. During the seminar, as we work through our 400-page training manual, and it is 400 pages, we received some great questions covering a wide range of topics. And one of the questions I was thinking is, why aren't more advisors in Traverse City part of the Ed Slott program? Mm. It's not cheap. But to me, I'm just going to say it, I think it's short-sightedness. It just is, and I'm probably going to get some pushback on this. But it is short-sighted because of the volume of information we get from them. And then I went back to some of the situations that we've encountered with clients where we can make it's not always the simple stuff, but some of the stuff you get out of left field. Like the husband who wasn't sure he wanted to name his two sons from a previous marriage as primary beneficiary of his IRA, and so he named his new spouse. Well, turns out, quite simply, he passed away. She figured out, listen, I think I'm going to be okay. I don't need these funds. Given that reality, because the sons were named as contingent beneficiaries, she was able to let that bypass her. She filed the claim, in essence, allowing that money to pass by her, which she can do. So it's incredible, given the Ed Slott program, the things where these accounts can be bent, if you will, to serve your higher purpose. Is it charity? Is it a child that doesn't get how to manage money? They will never get it, Dennis. You know, that sort of thing. Or they just need to get older. That could be another situation. I'm concerned about them getting a lump sum or managing the rest of the estate on top of the IRA, whatever that might be. So these are some of the questions. And this is what Ed said. To help those who could attend this past two-day event, we are bringing some of those questions and answers to you. He says, we learned firsthand what areas are most problematic for advisors. And it's crazy, the complexity. So the first one, if a trust is a beneficiary of an IRA, is the IRA fully taxable when it goes into the trust? And I actually called John Sluice about this morning just to make certain that, you know, I was tracking properly with the tax, because on the face of it, a trust can be a great idea because you want to limit how those children and or the current spouse receive those funds because it's grown into a significant asset. That's what's happened, especially since 2009. The market has been on a tear from about 6,600 and then in March of 2009, to be sure, to about 34,000 today. Most people would say that's almost five times. Well, it is five times. So given it's five times the value of IRAs and retirement accounts, 401k accounts, has grown dramatically. It's not extraordinary for us to see $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million IRAs. It just happens, and or 401k accounts that are well into their millions. Mm. So should we name a trust? Those distributions would be taxable like they are for any other IRA beneficiary. If the entire IRA is paid out into the trust, the whole account becomes taxable immediately After the IRA owner's death, it is important to properly retitle the IRA as an inherited IRA with the trust as owner. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, have you checked not only with your attorney about naming the trust as a beneficiary of your IRA, have you checked with your accountant as well, the implications of it, number one. Number two, do your children have any idea of the implications of this? Do they know how to operate this thing if they're named as trustees?
Crickets.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a good question.
Next, have you named a corporate trustee? Does the bank you've named as corporate trustee know that you have named them as that trustee? In most cases, probably yes. But do they know your wishes from that trust? And does that trust give the children who are inheriting this the wiggle room to manage this thing too? Those are some of the concerns and questions I hear from accountants and financial advisors that I've read through this information. Do we have a question, Ron?
I think this gentleman is an accountant talking about tax law changes for retired seniors, maybe your question here. Mike
sure.
is in Glen Arbor today on Prout Financial Design's new retirement radio. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Actually,
I'm a 73-year-old retired educator from Ohio, and I'm trying to understand the new tax law on our retirement income. And I had heard, and this needed some clarification, that if you were a public employee, it's reduced now instead of just 25%. You no longer have that obligation to pay for the next 4 years on your retirement income.
So I that might be referencing the Michigan legislature and the governor changed retirement income. Remember, I think pensions
the
were taxed,
and
now they
pensions.
Said pensions won't be taxed.
Yeah,
and,
but it's not 25%. It's 4.25%, I believe, is the Michigan
tax. And isn't
tax.
There a implementation period, like over several years,
yeah.
a gradual change? So I'm not really sure the parameters.
It's graduated, yeah. The change is that not that dynamic, if you will. But, of course, check with your own accountant on this.
I mean, there's a website, and it gets complicated. It's you know, if you were born on this period or during this mm-hmm. time period, everything is going to be different. So that might be something.
Oh, yeah. We covered this a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the graduated change of the tax.
Yeah, I tried to get in then, and I didn't make it.
It's on MERS, the Michigan Employees Retirement System, MERS, phasing into the plan. There's a great layout right there, a chart. Yes, that's the word.
Right, and what I was gathering from that show, there's 25% in 4 years. It'll be down to it'll be gone.
Right.
After
correct
after that.
In 2026, to be exact.
Yes,
and thereafter.
Someone had mentioned that there are some different little caveats involved, including if you were a state employee on a state retirement, this first supposed only 25% would actually be down to zero, and you're not involved in the countdown in the 4 year reduction. And interesting, I've talked to the state, and they told me to call a financial advisor. I found that to be interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
They wouldn't explain it to me. So.
Well, so you're an educator from Ohio, and you have is that right?
Yeah. I have an Ohio state teacher's retirement, and when I moved here, there was no tax on it, and then I believe it was 17 or 18, they started taxing the retirement of elderly people.
Yeah, I don't think this impacts you. I think you're still in the regular phase and would be my first blush on this one, okay?
I was afraid of that. But, hey, love your show. Thank you for letting me talk to you, and have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
But those are, like you said, the financial planning that you specialize in. Those are more like a John Slew CPA-type question
exactly.
right there.
That's an
there.
Accounting question
That's a
right
tax,
there.
Yeah. Tax
that
issue.
Is tax. So tax specialty.
Worth seeing a tax specialist to make sure.
Right. Yeah, to make certain that, you know, what am I looking at here? What's the difference in my tax going to be? Is it really going to be anything measurable? You know, is it going to amount to much?
Am I following the law?
And it's most likely not going to be that significant, but it could cost some, if you will. But my point was, I think he's going to be phased in like everyone else through 2026. And it's obviously still dependent on his age as well, what year he was born. It's another part of that. MERS, M-E-R-S. So if a trust is a beneficiary of an IRA, is the trust fully taxable when it goes into the trust? Depends on how it's received. Why would you want the trust? Now, trust as beneficiary, for those of you who are considering it, we actually have a module from Ed Slott. It's about 5 pages long. Excuse me, actually 10, 5 pages printed double space, so or double sides. So should a trust be named as beneficiary? If you do want to avail yourself of this, we are happy to give this to you. No obligation. Just contact Melissa at the office, 231-947-3992. And you can come by and pick that up at your convenience. It's called the Complete IRA Care Solution Trust as Beneficiary. So quickly, should a trust be named as beneficiary? One, reasons to name a trust. Beneficiary is a minor, disabled, incompetent, or unsophisticated. That could encompass a lot of children. So we get that. All right. Next, provide an income stream. Provide an income stream. For a period of time, when that's the thing you're most concerned about, is that income stream.
So instead of somebody like inheriting a lump sum, you want it spread out over a number of years to provide them that income, because maybe they wouldn't be as responsible with the lump sum.
Right. And keep in mind the other assets. A life insurance policy may be a much better vehicle for the income stream rather than the IRA, because the IRA's got so many other rules and regs with it. And so many other costs that might be involved. If they're not an eligible designated beneficiary, what does that mean? They're not a child under the age of 21, or they're not disabled. If they're disabled, there's significant benefits to naming the IRA as an income stream process or funnel, if you will, to that disabled child.
So you can't name an under 18 child as a beneficiary?
You can. But, you know, that may require some other legal requirements on that child until they're age 18 within the state of Michigan.
If you left it to a trust, that would solve that.
Before the age of 21, actually. Okay. So there are some age limitations and some other things to think about as a part of this. Next, a subsequent marriage. Provide income to the next spouse and then the remainder to children. But keep in mind, you want to really have them, in essence, that aware of each other's needs and that income coming out. That can cause some real relational issues there. Next, ensure beneficiaries do not withdraw more than required distributions. You want to limit them, let's say, for the first 5 years. You can do that within a trust. You can solve a lot of problems with a trust. You can also create a lot of problems with a
so
trust.
True.
Of course. Avoid estate tax inclusion in the beneficiary's estate. If you're concerned about estate taxes, this could be a way to help alleviate some of that. Continuation of distributions after the death of the beneficiary. So if the beneficiary were to pass away, you want to make sure those distributions continue to certain specific individuals, if that's the case. Controlled disposition of large retirement plans, where there may be excessive tax involved, and or you simply want to control those lump sums that are coming out. If this is a $1 million, $2 million IRA, whatever it is, you want to control the disposition of that, you can do that through the trust. You can really control that in some significant ways to not only protect that asset, but first of all, those children, if this is the case. And or perhaps it's even a spouse. He or she doesn't want the responsibility of managing that account. We've seen that more than once. Mm. We've seen spouses come in and say, you know, he or she did everything with this account. And, you know, while I appreciated that, I am not looking forward to the responsibility. Mm. So in that case, is it every case? It seems like. Try to have those meetings with your ongoing financial advisor with the both of you again, if that's the case, if possible. Because sometimes things happen.
That's so true. I remember a client's son calling in. He's a trustee, and he said, this is a full-time job. Hmm. Like, I had no idea the extent of this, and I wish I would have known.
Yes, and it's not always something that can be done, but what's interesting is, do your children know that you've got a trust? Hmm. Remember that recording we did of Tom Brokaw?
Yep.
And he said, she knows everything. Right. And she looked at him. She didn't want to embarrass him. You could see that. She said, Dad, I had no idea. No idea. Mm. You know, in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
So that happens. You, most of us, think that our children know a lot more than they do sometimes.
And that sort of brings up another issue as well, as if you do have a trust, that you don't want to just have a trust and forget about it and think everything's solved. Every 5 to 7 years, you want to make sure that you're going in, you're reviewing it, because children grow up, situations change, and maybe what fit you 10, 15 years ago is not what you want now. So you have to go back and revisit these documents ever so often, not every day, but every 5 to 7 years, and just check in and make sure any changes in legislation or changes in your personal situation.
Good.
Perfect. Perfect. Couldn't agree more. It's responsibility in some ways. I'll just say it. It's a pain. You've been a saver. You've created complexity. You just have. So that can be the joy of creating this complexity, and that you have to stay after it. You just do. So the best advice is, honestly, get together with your advisors. Bug them. You know, that's why I called John this morning. That information from the street, if you will, again, about how these things work and how to make it work for you. So that to me is where the real power is. That's how to make this, instead of it being an ominous problem, it's a situation where it's not a slave trade, if you will. It's something that actually makes a difference to these people that follow, and Ken, to you as well. Just having the peace of mind, of course. So we barely got into our material. So we're going to do a continuation. We'll get into a continuation in the coming weeks on these questions. We'll cover that next week, too. We have a lot of really good questions that I think can help people, can help you possibly shed light on your situation.
We did have a text from somebody who said they were the executor for their parents' estate and immediately realized they were in over their head. I hired the bank to settle it. 1% or $3,000 minimum charge. It was money well spent, they said.
A great point. Sometimes you need these people to come in and get this stuff done. And that's, you know, they've been doing this for a while, okay? Yeah.
It's hard to navigate some of those things you have to go through, and all the different types of accounts and different types of assets, and the list goes on.
Yeah, real estate, personal real estate, commercial real estate, IRAs, 457 plans, 401Ks, 403Bs, it goes on and on. Mm. And so because of that, we want to find out from this article from the Wall Street Journal, Heidi's going to be covering, Americans can stick more cash in their 401ks next year. What a headline, huh? Thanks to inflation. So the numbers have increased is what people can put away next year to add to these.
That is correct. And last week we had Bob Simpson on, and he was telling us all those new numbers.
Bob Simpson wasn't on last week.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, the last time I was
just
here.
To be sure,
yes,
yeah.
So. Okay, in my mind, that was the last show. So when he was here, we talked about all the new numbers for Social Security. So this sort of goes along with this. This was released on November 1st, and I'm getting my information from that Wall Street Journal article and also a article from Forbes. So this information comes from those two sources. So the announcement was made of the cost of living adjustments for all the different retirement accounts. So We start out looking at 401ks. So the limit for 2023 for an individual into a 401k plan was $22,500. And that has gone up to $23,000. So that's a $500 increase. But that's a boost, and the more that you can put in, the better. And the catch-up amount for those over 50 remains at $7,500. So for those over 50, for the 401k, you can put in $30,500. Now, when we talk about 401k plans, remember, we're also referencing those that Dennis mentioned, the 403b, the 457s, the thrift savings plans, and so on and so forth. So that's something to keep in mind.
And it's interesting. In a 401k plan, if you're over 50, then you can put up to $30,500.
Yes.
Now, some people might say, well, how many people really do that? And it was interesting, you had that stat of what percentage actually put the max into their 401k plans.
Because that's exactly what I asked myself. I'm like, well, not that many people put in the max, right? But I was surprised because in 2022, the Wall Street Journal says that 15% of people enrolled in 401k accounts that were administrated by Vanguard, that was the people who did the study, they put in the maximum amount. So I thought 15%, that's a pretty good number.
It is. Significant amounts that can make a nice difference over time. And that saving mentality can obviously create a lot more retirement for those who are looking for that.
Right. So we're going to move on to another type of account, the IRA account. So the limit for those under 50 in 2023 is $6,500, and that is also getting a $500 bump up to $7,000. Now, for those over 50, they are allowed to put that extra $1,000 in there, so now they'll be able to put in $8,000. And this is for both IRAs and traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. So any kind of combination, if you're putting into both, that is the contribution limit for both of those.
Now, what's somewhat confusing about these is you can usually make an IRA contribution until April 15th of the year following, in which, you know, you're filing your taxes.
Correct.
Well, that would mean that someone over 50 could put up to $8,000 in 24, but not for 23. It's still $7,500 for those age 50 and over for 2023, even though you're making the contribution in 2024.
Right, and that's why it's important that you keep track of what year are you making that contribution for, and that's something we help our clients monitor so that they're meeting the requirements for the various changes over the years.
Are those limits per individual or per account? Like if you had, say, three 401k accounts, could you do, $23,000 in each one?
That's a good, but no, it's per.
Per person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the company, too.
Yes.
So sometimes you can get over those amounts. That's another question for another day, but you can actually increase pretty dramatically what you can put away.
If you're, like, working for
two different employers.
And then there's different rules.
Right.
But if it's the same employer, it is that one account maximum. Mm.
So in case you were thinking of getting another job, Ron, I mean, you could make even more contributions to your 401k.
Same thing with IRAs, just per person, those limits are, right?
Yeah, they're per person.
Yeah.
Not
per account.
Yeah, it's per person. Now, what's interesting about that is, your spouse can use your income if he or she doesn't have an income on their own. Normally, they wouldn't be able to make an IRA contribution for themselves. But if you take the spousal option on an IRA, the spouse can, in essence, make that contribution for you.
Hmm.
So you're both then limited by your age and by the amount that you want to put in to these things. Okay. So a couple, theoretically, then for 2024, if they're both over age 50, even though there's just one working, could make a total contribution of $16,000 if they fall within all the requirements.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's move on. How about if you're an individual who, hey, you have a 401k at your job, but you also have an IRA that you like to contribute on your own to try to beef up your retirement savings. So in that circumstance, when you're in a plan at work, there are limits to being able to make a tax-deductible contribution or a Roth IRA contribution in addition to your employer plan. And those are income limitations, and those numbers have been adjusted as well. For single taxpayers, the amounts have gone up about $4,000. So, for example, last year it was $73,000 to $83,000 was what we call the phase-out range. So depending if you're in between those numbers, you can only deduct or from income when you make that contribution a certain percentage. This year, or next year in 2024, it's going up to $77,000 to $87,000. Then there are also limits if you're a couple, or if you're head of household, or if you're married and filing separately. And all those different categories have had adjustments to those income phase out ranges, is what we call them.
So in essence, they've been liberalized. Your income, if you're right in those areas, you may be surprised that you can actually do a deductible IRA in 24 where you couldn't do it in 23.
Exactly. So you want to check those out.
Yes.
But I would just want to say something that is really important to remember is if neither you or your spouse is covered by a retirement plan at work, those phase outs do not apply to you. You can still make a contribution to an IRA or a Roth IRA. So just keep those in mind, because sometimes people think like, oh, I'm under that income limit. But if you are not covered by an employer plan, then you can, those phase out limits do not apply.
They don't apply, period, on a regular deductible IRA. Now, they still apply on a Roth contribution, but what's interesting is the amount of confusion, well, obviously, in the 401k world. Many believe inaccurately that if their income is too high that they can't do a 401k Roth. There are no income limitations on a 401k Roth, where there is on an IRA Roth. So make certain you know those rules and the regulations and what you might be able to do.
Right. And so if you're not in a plan, just don't do nothing. You can still do your IRA.
Yep. You may be able to do a non-deductible IRA and then convert it to a Roth. All kinds of ways you can do that. There are no income limitations at all on a non-deductible IRA. Everyone can have an IRA as long as they have earned income.
And those phase-out limits between IRAs and Roths are different, so you want to check those as well.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm. The IRA, did that just start up like in the 80s or something, or was that always available?
Was it 79 or 81? Do you remember, Deanne?
I don't.
The Roth was
Sorry.
1997.
I just thought I'd put you on the spot. Very nice. So mean.
Sounds
I
like
think
an
it was
81.
And it was interesting. I think that when they started, it was $1,000. $1,000. It was one or two. It went to two, I think. $1,000, $1,500. But it's interesting. There are a few clients that started from day one. And there were only a few annuity companies that actually allowed, you know, the IRA contribution to be made. Everyone looked at that and went, well, what are those things anyway? So it took a while for the public to become accustomed to the whole IRA universe.
Can you start one? Like if you say you have a child and you want to, you know, instead of opening a savings account, can you say like $500 or something for a 12-year-old? Can they start an IRA, or do you have to be, how old do you have to be?
They
do
can.
Do they have earned income?
If they have earned income.
Okay.
If.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have to have earned income, as you just said about five
like
times.
They have to get like a W-2 yep. or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that rock tune, Why Don't You Get a Real Job?
Yeah.
You know, there you go, Ron.
There you go.
So,
I wonder if youngsters do that now. People would say, well, you know, you're going to get a job and then you're going to open your bank account. You'll have your own bank account. Or if they don't. Better options now. Like, you know, you used to give, like, the child would get the savings passbook and they could write down in there their savings.
Yep.
Well, now it's all online. And then you have to have a 12- or 13-year-old now has access to their bank account online.
I remember, like it was yesterday, my dad walking me into the bank in Rosebush, Michigan, and, you know, opening a passbook savings account.
I was just
going to
say.
I don't know. I think I know the interest rate was 5.25% at that point.
I remember my dad walking me into the bank at Howe, Indiana, and starting a savings account. It was a big deal. Walking away with a sucker.
You probably
remember. It's kind of fun.
I had one of those little blue books where they'd stamp it.
Yeah, they'd stamp it.
Good memories.
Before
Take
the computer.
Take your babysitting money and put it in there.
Or remember the Christmas club.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Wild stuff, Al.
Just a few other places. I'll just finish up with amounts that have changed. Simple plans. A lot of smaller employers in the area have simple plans. Those contribution limits have increased as well by $500. So from $15,500 to $16,000. And keep in mind that the catch-up for simple for people over age 50 is $3,500.
A lot of simple IRA accounts out there. A lot of employers use simple plans. So keep in mind, these amounts that you can put in have increased. And the other thing is, of course, keep track of these accounts. You may be surprised at the accounts available within and what you can take advantage of. They are their own engine of retirement, and they can make a significant difference for you. We always take those into account when we're looking at those for financial planning, all the rest. Tell us about your 401k. How are you allocated? What are the balances? All those kinds of things. Who are the beneficiaries? And we have a phone call. Yes.
We can jump to the phone. We have Tom is out on the road somewhere. Tom from Traverse City. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Tom.
Got a quick question. 4 years ago, me and all of my siblings got an inherited IRA when our father passed. So we each got $43,000 in that portion of his estate. What can I do? We haven't got any minimum disbursement memos on it or anything, but the bank it's in doesn't really pay very well on interest. And just curious what I could do without getting a tax penalty if I withdrew it.
Well, it's a beneficiary IRA, so you would be taxed. And what year did you inherit that IRA?
2020.
So that was before, was that before Secure?
No, Secure was 2020.
2020, 1-1 of 2020. So you needed to withdraw that over a 10-year period. Okay?
You should.
Right.
You need to have emptied it, but you can get a much better interest rate, most likely. The rates right now, if you want it to be secure money, somewhere in the range of 4 to 5.5%, if you want it to be secure. The other part of this, if I may, is do you need the funds? There's no penalty for you withdrawing this.
No, I don't need the funds. But what I wanted to do was to buy a CD with it, which I was told I can't.
They won't allow you to at that bank?
If I do, I'm going to have to pay tax on the whole amount. They would mess me up, but...
Oh, no. Hang on a second. You can buy a CD within that IRA. Even though the bank may not be aware of it, you can buy that CD within that IRA and not have it... it won't be taxable.
Oh, that's the opposite of what they told me.
Yeah. So, query them. You may want another bank. Somebody who actually knows what they're doing. Because obviously 5% on $40,000 is $2,000 a year. I mean, it can make a difference for you.
Right. And that's what I did with my other 401ks when the market was so volatile. But the other question is, I definitely have a shortfall on my 401k. Is it possible to withdraw enough of that? Because I'm 64. And to put that into a 401k and not suffer the big tax hit.
What do you want to put into the 401k?
If I wanted to, I don't know what the maximum I can put in a 401k per year is, but I'm sure that I can.
$30,000 if you're over 50,
yes,
right?
That's right.
Correct.
Right.
Per year. Yeah.
So if I withdrew $30,000 and put it in a 401k that I already have, would I still have to pay taxes on it for this year?
Yes. Yeah. You need to take. You need active. To have it withheld from your pay.
Yeah.
To put it into the 401k.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Perfect.
So. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
But it sounds to me like you need to consult with a financial advisor. My free advice, a lot of things you could be doing with what you've got there. Mm-hmm. All right? All right. Take care, Tom.
We were talking about remembering your first savings account, and someone said, I had a savings account at age 11, paper route earnings. Spent about $200 in 1963 to buy a Sears Silvertone guitar and amplifier. Sometimes I wonder how much that would be now if invested in the market. But no matter how much, I'm sure I made the right choice. Buying that guitar than playing in a rock band while in high school was priceless.
Yes, it was. Good memories.
Playing in a rock band while in high school. Now that's the dream.
Yes.
So my dad got my own story. Speaking of Sears, I had a Sears motorcycle, and it was where the oil and the gas were, and each had their tank on it. And I ran the wheels off of that bugger in the lane, if you will, back. And I had so much fun in that whole Sears motorcycle, but it'd smoke like crazy. The smoke was just belching out the back. We weren't so concerned about air purification back in those days or whatever. Pollution, air pollution.
Did you wear a helmet?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time. You bet.
Is that why it's going to be like in the 60s next week?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe so. Dennis can get on a Sears motorcycle. All right. Was there anything else, Ron?
I had a question. The last gentleman who called in inherited $43,000.
Right.
His siblings, they all got $43,000 each. He was wondering, what can I do with that to avoid taxes, or what are my options or whatever? So is that the kind of thing like you handle? I mean, if somebody called and said, hey, I got a question for Dennis or for Heidi, can I come in and ask you guys that? I mean, how do you handle that? Because that's one specific question that someone's asking.
Yeah. The first time anyone comes in to visit us is a complimentary meeting. There's no kind of strings attached. You can come in and just visit with us and bring your questions and say, you know, I just need to know about these different points. And we do our best to give you the material you need to make a good decision and just figure out a little of the complexity that you're facing. I do a lot of those meetings, and I love doing that. I love to help people solve their problems with education. So,
So 1 hour complimentary meeting for something like that.
Yeah, it's what we do. 1 hour, no obligation. Now, some clients do become consulting clients too. And we were talking in the break. There's a consulting client that comes to mind. He would not be a good client, but I love consulting with him because he has questions. We talk about the portfolio, all that sort of thing. I love doing it because we go back and forth on the allocations, talking about taxes, all this other stuff. So, and we charge an hourly fee for a relationship like that. So it really is soup to nuts in terms of how we can operate. And of course, we are fiduciaries as well. And we were talking about that before the show.
We were.
So we act in your best interest, in your very best interest when it comes to these funds and what we're recommending, the best information we have.
I have 1 minute left. Do you have, what is Prout Financial Design? Oh, we didn't do the stats.
It's okay. Next week.
Okay. Do you have your own, what do you call it, your own account or investment vehicle or something? What do you call that? Like a Prout Financial? I mean,
allocation?
Oh, yeah. Now we see what you're saying. Yeah, we actually have an allocation of mutual funds that are Morningstar's best of best funds. That we've allocated in a moderate portfolio. We've done that, I think, almost 10 years now.
Okay.
It is within a fee-based account. And that's proven very popular because that account has actually performed all right. And that's about as much as I can say about that and satisfy compliance. So, yes, sirree.
All right.
Appreciate it, Ron.
Wrap it up for this episode of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings, thank you all.
Thanks,
Ron. Thank you, Ron.